welcome back to Cast Me to Hell with me, Sebby.
And with me, Robbie.
And this week, well, today, straight from the cinema, in fact.
Yeah. Hot off the presses.
Yeah, hot off the presses. Is this our first cinema film this year?
I'm pretty sure it is.
Straight from the cinema, I think, this year. Yeah, we haven't done many. I mean, there's not been that many horror films that we've, like,
Not this side of the year. I know we did a couple last year. Quite a few last year, but I don't think we actually have.
No, we've talked about a few, but there was nothing that was like big enough that we wanted to jump at it. We considered Kong, and I think we were going to try Ghostbusters, but we just couldn't make it work.
Yeah.
So this is our first of the year and our first spoiler-free episode of the year. To not ruin it for any listeners out there. So today we are doing a spoiler-free episode, and then on Monday we will release our spoiler episode. So don't worry, no spoilers here.
Yep, we're going to keep it as clean as we can. Check out this and then obviously go and see the film if you are swayed by what we say. If you want to see the film anyway, you've got to see it. You don't really care what we're going to say. Yeah. Straight off the bat, disregard the product. But make sure, come back and then check it out on Monday. As always, if this is your first time checking out the show, or if you're a frequent listener, just double check you've hit that subscribe button and that you've left us a lovely review. Always helps. So, The Omen was actually one of the films that we covered in, I think it was in December last year, as our must-see horror. Both of us said it was must-see horror. It's a film that absolutely pounds ass, to put it, to put it simply. It's an incredible film.
You'd only seen it for the first time.
Yeah, this is...
When we did the must-see horror episode.
Yeah, it was the first time I'd actually sat down and watched all of it. I'd seen bits and pieces. Obviously, iconic film score by Jerry Goldsmith. I kind of loved that. But it was the first time I properly sat down and watched it. Since then, I know you've watched, I think, the whole of the franchise. I've watched the second one.
I had the box set when I was a kid, so I just watched them. I'd seen them all before, but I revisited them after about like 15 years or something like that. And the original, as we said at the time, in our must-see horror episode, again, go check it out. The original is pretty much a masterpiece of horror.
Yeah.
It's a film that I think, as we said, goes beyond horror films in some ways, because some people have a bit of a tangent or a little bit of skepticism that they put with horror sometimes. It can't be as good, but I think The Omen is up there as like a masterpiece of horror filmmaking, but just generally a masterpiece film.
Yeah, it's incredible.
So that's why the sequels could not live up to that. You haven't seen them. The sequels are, okay. Kind of fun, They were better than I remember. I think I remembered them being, because they've got a bit of fun to them, but there's a slight blandness to them as well, sadly. There's just a little bit where they're trying to capture what worked with Gregory Peck in the original and didn't quite work in the sequels, because it just didn't have the same strong story or the strong actors to pull it off, maybe. It didn't work in that way, and that's why coming into this, a prequel to The Omen, is a tricky thing to do.
It's a very tricky thing. And originally when I heard about it, I was a little on the fence. I was thinking, we've had a lot of these requels and we've had a lot of these kind of reboots. A film that, was massively kind of shit on, but that we quite enjoyed, was obviously Exorcist Believer. And I kind of went in, when this was announced, I was thinking, I'll check it out because I really love The Omen, but I'm not really expecting much.
No.
And then, we both said that the reviews for this have been extremely favourable. You mentioned that The Guardian gave it a 3-star, which basically
for The Guardian, for
The Guardian, for the horror film,
is a
5-star. It's a 5-star. It's a generational horror film. You have to see this. And coming out of it, I have my own thoughts on the film. Very mixed, very unsure. Obviously, we're keeping this spoiler free, so I don't want to go too much into plot details or specifics about bits that I thought were amazing or that I thought were dog shit. But we'll cover some of those. What did you think? What's that gut feeling? Hit me with some gut.
I from my gut feeling, I mean, obviously, this is, like many, or any prequel, most of the time, is an unnecessary thing. You know, this was something that you could see why they would make a prequel, because in the original, there were lots of little hints about what happened before and how it got to that point. So there was an interesting story to tell here. I think I'm fairly similar to you in that I have some mixed things. I think there are some parts that really work. The setting in Rome, I think, adds a really nice kind of thing. I don't know why, but I was getting weird, like, you know, like Italian horror kind of at some points, because it was in Italy. It just gives you that vibe. But also the kind of Suspiria, like the person out of their place in a new city.
Yeah, that's what struck me first.
Some of the shots in this film have a little bit of a Suspiria kind of angle to them.
Yeah, it was a little... I mean, the thing that hit me was Suspiria. There is a bit later on in the film that is very Suspiria. But yeah, I got a little bit of Suspiria, a bit of The Omen, obviously, and then a bit of, you know, Rosemary's Baby, you know. It was a cosmic gumbo, as some would say, of these kind of three films from the 70s that deal with a lot of kind of like religious witchcraft kind of folk horror stuff.
And I mean, coming into this, the hard thing, obviously, is that, like, I actually actively tried to avoid any trailers for this.
Same.
So, you know, I do know the basic idea of what would have been given in the trailer, so we can stick to those kind of areas, because we know which points are going to be spoiler and which parts aren't. But I tried to avoid it, I think because if I'm going to watch it, then I really don't. And we even had the conversation before, horror trailers are getting worse and worse.
Oh, horrendous.
Like, they literally just, like, give away, like, whole death. Some of them do try to, you know, get away from expectations, but some of them just literally, like, ruin parts of you. Like, we were watching the Abigail trailer, and there was a shot towards the end where I'm like, that definitely implies to me that one character probably survives at least to the end.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Because of the way they look, you know, it's certain things like that. Yes, sometimes they put fake ones in, but most of the time in horror films they don't.
No.
And it's exactly what's there. And you see a character die and you're like, oh, well, I knew that character was going to die because it was in the trailer. And it is a real problem with horror films, because I don't think horror films need to give that much away.
No.
They should. A trailer can still be good without barely giving anything away. It should just be the, you know, a horrific scene, a jump scene, a mood.
Yeah.
Not characters. We should not show any character death part in a trailer.
Yeah.
It just ruins it for people, honestly. It just makes it predictable.
Yeah.
Because you already know. And on that kind of point of the fact of avoiding trailers, there was one thing for me, and it's a thing that goes around a lot now, and we've got a lot of them, is it's the whole non-religious horror. It's a well-worn area, especially in the last 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, it's kind of wearing a bit thin, isn't it?
We've had a lot of them, I feel. I feel like I'm a bit like... Well, and I think I've only seen about one or two of them, and I didn't really enjoy them at the time. I know there's that, and there's even one that literally came out like last week, Immaculate, with Sydney Sweeney, which is, some people were saying has, or at least even if it wasn't good, it has a good ending. I haven't seen it, so I can't comment on that one. Maybe that one is excellent, but
the pun was right there. You could have said that maybe that one was Immaculate. It was right there and you missed it.
I missed
well
that.
Done.
I apologize for my cough that's going into that. So yeah, there is a little bit of a kind of coming into this where I was a bit like really unsure that this was going to be any good.
Yeah.
And generally, as I said, there are things like the settings and location that were good, but I felt some big parts of the plot where the logic was just off.
Yes.
Like, it didn't make sense to me. Like, some of the things that the main character does and some of the ways that the story plays out just didn't quite make sense to me.
Oh, there was, you know, if it felt very much to me like a rather disjointed put together film. So the first act kind of felt very much as if they were going down the vein of something like The Nun, as if they were going down that kind of more modern Conjuring style jump scare, quick cuts kind of, you know, horror and setting up. And I was watching it and I was thinking, after a decent opening, I was thinking, oh, this is going to be a bit ass. And then after having this kind of opening part where it does feature quite a few CGI jump scares. Yeah. We then get into it kind of goes into this attempt at like a slow burn horror where we don't you don't really get any jump scares. You know, it's trying to kind of pitch this story to you. And then as we get to like the third act, it kind of leans into that whole kind of a lot more religious, you know, slightly kind of cultish horror. And it, for me, it felt like pick a lane.
Yeah,
it felt very disjointed.
I definitely agree on that. I many times, like you said about, say, The Nun.
Yeah.
Like, it did feel like we were trying to do The Omen mixed with something else.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't quite work because some of them just felt too similar to me. And if I'm honest, the way that they were approaching some of these, they were probably done better in other films than they've tried to do here. It also felt out of place in a film that's trying to be within the Omen world. Not the whole, like, supernatural, but, you know, those whole, like, figures that appear, that wasn't really ever part of the original film. And it's not really a part of the sequels. So it's something that they're introducing here, but that's why, to me, it just felt a bit out of place, because The Omen has enough, should have, like, a tension, a suspense that's building in the background, a darkness.
Yes.
The original Omen has, it feels like you can see death and the devil following them.
Yeah.
Even though they're not there. Like, even though there's nothing there. That one scene in the original with Father Brennan, and this is the original Omen, so I can give spoilers for the original. Yeah. If you haven't seen that, well, sorry, it's like 50 years old.
Yeah.
Father Brennan is Father Brennan is a character in this film, but he is also in the original. And so, you know, it's not really a spoiler if you saw, it's in the trailer that Father Brennan is in the film. He, in his death scene, and this is in the original Omen, when he's running away and you can feel it chasing him and it's suspense, it doesn't need to be some nun that's chasing after him or a figure or a feature. It is just literally like the wind and the trees and the movement. And that is what The Omen did
and
so
the
expertly.
Shots.
Yeah, that's you what know? I mean. These beautiful, like, really. And it's kind of disappointing because I would say one thing I did think about certain parts of this film is this film was shot very beautifully.
Oh,
in a lot of. Rome looks gorgeous.
Yeah, it looks good.
I love the 70s kind of look and style of it. I think the cinematography in this film is really good.
It is fantastic. And a lot of the performances were really good.
Yeah.
You know, to give the film that kind of credit. But I agree, like, it had, the original Omen had this kind of, just an intensity to it, and you knew that shit was going to go wrong, and it felt very, there was so much foreshadowing and foreboding to it, and there was, like, if we're talking about Father Brennan's death in the original, it's not just, like, we see him being chased, and then he dies, it's that we see whenever we see Father Brennan at certain points of the film, we see the spire of the church.
Yeah.
You know, we see the pole, and then there's the pictures, and we see that, and it's all, like, every character's death is very heavily foreshadowed. So when you watch it, you're like, fuck me, that got me. And we said it kind of, you know, it's very, it influenced Final Destination, and you can see where they got it from. And the start of this film, they hint at that quite heavily.
The opening of this film is classic Omen.
Yeah, it felt very much like,
you know, a little bit on the nose, maybe.
A bit
very
on the
close,
nose at points.
But
it was like, okay, I know where we're going with this. You know, this is where it's got to be. And then it kind of felt like they just, at one point, they were just like, oh shit, what's foreshadowing? We just killed people, and what's foreshadowing? You know?
How do we do that?
Yeah, how do we do that?
You know, Well, that's what I mean. The sad part is, I think, for classic Omen fans, is the opening of this film, of which I won't go into, I don't even think even the actor who's in that scene, there is an actor you will notice who's there, but I won't tell you who in this one. You know, there is something that happens in this opening scene that really kind of gives you that classic kind of, this is the Omen. And the only problem with that is it then goes into Rome, and then we get a woman's perspective. And, you know, this film is, you know, the original is very much a male perspective, and obviously an antagonist who is a boy, you know, and this one is very much more of a female, which is absolutely worked fine.
Yeah.
But the problem is that, unlike the original, where they kind of came up with their own original concept of how to approach that, instead of leaning into the anti-Christy kind of angle here, it feels like they kind of go into, like we've already said, a more supernaturally angle.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part, is that they've kind of given this perspective with some really good actors who are really trying their hardest with yeah. what they've got. But at the same time, it feels like they're just ripping off other films.
Yeah.
And not really making their own for quite a lot of it. That doesn't mean that all of it is not original or they don't try new things. It doesn't necessarily follow the structure that you might expect. It isn't necessarily predictable all of the time, but some of it very much is.
Yeah. There's also, you know, there's some parts of it where, you know, I think they came up, maybe they came up with the idea of it, and then they shot the film, and then they're like, oh shit, that's not how it is in the original. That's not what happened, you know? Yeah. So they just conveniently do it so that they can have this plot going forward. I mean, I'll talk about that in the spoiler one.
Yeah,
And then
it is odd. There are one or two scenes, like right at the kind of, I think maybe at the end, and the first scene, in fact, at the beginning, that almost feels so different. I almost wonder if someone went back and reshot it and said, you need to make it feel a little bit more like The Omen. Because they feel so different in tone to me. Yeah. Weirdly, the beginning and so we get the very end that we get, that the two scenes so different. I kind of wondered where they've gone. Maybe we need to make it a little bit more.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to say it was a bad film, because I don't think it was. I think it was a serviceable film with some good actors in it, and you know, it was paced okay, you know, like the performances were good.
Nell Tigerfree as Margaret Diana.
She was good. Man.
I thought she was very good.
Yeah, she was very good.
For most of the scenes, she was good. She had a questionable wig.
Yeah,
there was a wig which looked really bad in certain scenes. It seemed to get it because she's in her nun's outfit most of the time. You don't notice it, but whenever she's out of it, I found it very distracting.
Well, I thought she was purposely wearing a wig when she wasn't doing that.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because there's a scene where she goes out for a bit of pipe.
That
the only spoiler you're getting. And it clearly looks that she's got a wig on, but then her mate has a wig on. So I was like, does she have a wig on? Or is it just the actress who's, you know, like, does the character have a wig on? Or does the actress have a wig on? I got really confused at that point.
You've also got the classic Ralph Ineson as Father Brennan, but not... He's doing his own version. He's not just doing an impression.
No, he was good.
Of the original. He was good. But one person I will say that sadly is not really, and kind of felt very out of place, was Bill Nighy.
Yeah.
He didn't really fit, and he didn't really have anything to do.
No.
He kind of has something to do at the end. And apart from that, he pops up for like 4 scenes in the film, maybe?
Yeah.
It felt like he was going to have a bigger role. I'll admit, I kind of thought he was going to be a diddler.
It
felt like...
Old priest in your face.
I mean, this whole film, I was waiting for diddler.
Yeah, that's what it is.
There might be diddler themes.
That might be the after credit scene that we didn't stay for.
I think out of everyone, he's the only one that felt majorly kind of waste. I was like, why is Bill Nighy here?
I mean, and...
doing classic Bill Nighy.
To be honest, and the actor at the start of the film, I was like, "You, what?" I was like, "You, that's a great actor."
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not gonna see him again.
Yeah.
Not to give any spoilers.
I mean, out of place, but at least his one scene is cool.
Oh, it was cool.
Nothing really was that cool about Bill. Bill Nighy, in fact, he felt like he was almost doing. Like, I've seen several performances of Bill Nighy. He's a very good actor. He has range. For some reason, why was he doing The Love Actually. Was it just me?
It was Love Actually. Also, now
I can't actually remember what the character's name is, but that is the character he was like. It felt very much like that character. Of all the characters and the types that he could do and the acting voices, like
you could have done Davy Jones.
Yeah, exactly. That would have made more sense. In fact, with the accent, would have weirdly made more of sense as a thing. But I don't know if this was just because Bill Nye was just there for. He was there for a paycheck. He was there. Maybe. Not to say he wasn't there for Love Actually for a paycheck, because he's fucking great in Love Actually. But in this case, it felt like he was just like, yeah, I'm just going to do my voice. And I'm just going to be here because I'm in like four scenes.
Was that a spoiler? Yeah. But was there anything that you really liked about the film? Because we've spoke about our problems.
Yeah, we have. As I already talked about the setting, the scenery, and the actors. So away from that, I do think there are some very kind of creepy scenes in there. There are some. I personally didn't find anything that was terrifying or made me jump or anything like that, but we are specialist cases. For other people out there, there are some things. There are some, if you know The Omen, I don't think it's spoiler to say there's some birth-type scenes in this.
Yeah.
And therefore, there are one or two that are kind of... And there's one scene that surprised me that they showed what they showed.
And that was... Yeah, it was a bit uncomfortable. Yeah. It had some uncomfortable scenes.
They did. And I liked some of the character relationships at certain points. Yeah. And I like parts of her main... Sister Margaret's main story kind of thing that she's following and those kind of parts. I think that was kind of it though. There was a little bit of a, it felt a little bit samey until it gets to the final act.
Yeah.
And then it felt a little bit bigger, but then you're comparing it so much to what you know from the original once it gets to the ending that I don't know if that's kind of impacted my judgment on it, because it's, I don't know, I guess when you watch a film you build it in your own head and it wasn't what I expected to kind of see, so it didn't really match up in my head I'm trying to say like the positives in that way. There were, you know, there are some cool death scenes, and there are some, you know, but at the same time there are also some very predictable death scenes. And the way that you'd expect things to play out, to kind of close myself up here, is sadly the only thing is, the one thing I think about the original Omen is that yes, it was foreshadowed, so therefore technically predictable.
Yes.
But that's why the suspensefulness made it so well executed. It didn't matter if you knew they were going to die. And that's the hardest thing for any horror film to pull off. If you already know they're going to die, then how the hell do you make that any good?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a skill. You could talk about Final Destination being like cheap horror all day long. But there's a skill to pull on people's expectations when you know it's going to come.
Yeah.
And that's why there are good ones and there are bad ones.
Yeah.
In this case, because they, for some reason, decide to go away what I think is a major theme of The Omen, the foreshadowing, instead it just started to feel like predictable things instead of, oh, you've thought this out really well. You've thought how to build up to this. So that's kind of where I just think it's, I think it's enjoyable, but it was quite predictable and it was quite... I don't know, just I think a little bit underwhelmed, but it might be that, you know, it grows on me over time.
Yeah, I think I'm very much in the same boat as you. I thought it was shot beautifully. The soundtrack was pretty good. I like the style that they've gone for. And there was one point where I thought, fuck it, that really hits. It's the obvious one. I'm not going to mention it because this is the no spoilers. And then, as we said, there were certain kind of characters that added a certain a creepiness to it. There was, you know, one bit. I went out for a wee and I came back and it was like on a really creepy scene.
Yeah.
But it almost felt like for each kind of, you know, each point that they did that was quite interesting or quite creepy, they then went the obvious route with it. So there's something that's kind of slow and creepy, and then it's just like a loud noise, you know? And then there are, speaking of the deaths, you know, I didn't really think much of them. They were rather unoriginal at some points.
Yeah.
And sometimes they just happened, and I was like, I don't really give a fuck. And it's very much, there wasn't that kind of that foreshadowing. If you look at the deaths in the original Omen, there's always something going on, you know. Obviously, we've mentioned Final Destination, and that takes it, that bumps it up a level. But there's always something that you're watching out for, or you're expecting it to come from one way, and then it just subverts it just a little bit. And the deaths in this just felt very by the numbers. But like you said, maybe it's something that will grow on me. Religious horror has always been one of those ones that's like really freaked me out. But this just didn't get it for me, you know.
They tend to just go. I just never really got them, to be honest.
Yeah, they even
The Omen's the, I think, one of the only religious-y horrors I think I actually like off the top of my head, apart from Exorcist. Obviously, that's kind of religious.
Prince of Darkness. Prince of Darkness terrified me, man. Prince of Darkness was fucking class. And we will cover it on our Must See Horror one day.
We will.
But yeah, I think that's it for the, you know, that's it for us for being spoiler free. Any last words before I send them home happy?
No, I'm done. I'm just before you send them home, catch them on Monday, baby.
Yeah, catch us on Monday when we drop the bomb and we get into them guts. Remember to hit that subscribe button and please leave us a lovely review. If you do go see the film, let us know what you think of it. Obviously, without spoilers. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram @CMTH Podcast. Take care, enjoy the film, and we'll see you soon. Bye bye.